Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to Podcast 2187, and this is episode 99. And that was fun to say, just because we made it to 99. but we're all here, and it's following May 4th, and we're going to have fun. So, first off, minus some microphone technical difficulties, how are you doing tonight?
Great.
Fantastic.
I'm focused on the microphone technical difficulties emotionally, but other than that, I guess okay.
I mean, the good news is you're here, right? And you're talking to the rest of us.
Oh, well, I'm happy to talk to you guys. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I guess...
Are we still the number one podcast in your heart? In your heart, Jerry?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. I'm gonna let your other... podcast know that they're still number two.
I mean, it would be a lie to tell either of you guys that, though, because it's probably
I don't know. Jared, 99. That means something. That's longer than some marriages.
That's definitely true. Most of my friends who are like contemporaries, I would say it's long, definitely longer than many of their marriages that are past tense, which is sad.
Yeah, we're not that far from 2.5 years, also, since we started this.
So sweet.
Just better than some really good TV shows.
I guess just the first thing to /only thing to really be getting into is that May 4th happened. And Solo tickets are on sale, so if you haven't gotten yours yet, I'm sorry. Odds are the premiere has sold out, but you can go ahead and get some stuff for opening weekend, I would think. And like I have tickets. All of you have tickets, right? I'm assuming.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, if I know he doesn't listen to it anymore, but I would try Ron publicly because. Real family is more important, I guess, than us, because he had family stuff and couldn't actually join us this time.
How dare he?
I know. It was like we're going to have 26 people, too, so Amanda was all really annoyed. She said we're just going to cut it at 25 and end up getting bumped up to 26, and now Ron's gone, so it is 25. It's like she changed her whole mindset for him and nothing.
Come on, Ron.
So that's coming up in what? Is it 3 weeks? Two weeks? Oh no! It's like
2 weeks.
It's at the end of 2 weeks from now. Yeah,
2 weeks in a couple days or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So yeah, that's coming up pretty fast. It'll be fun, and there's not a whole lot to really talk about there, but it kind of lends into one other thing that we can talk about, which is that I saw today it's like a 45-second clip from the movie, and it's called 190 Years Old. Is the name of the clip.
You're so late to this game.
So who else has seen that?
Wait, what?
I have.
Okay, Mark has.
I heard about his age being revealed in something, but I haven't watched any of this stuff.
Hey, Jared.
What would it?
This is Tim and I excited about a clip. Why are we excited?
Boba Fett.
No.
No.
Music.
Music. Yes. Soundtrack. Yes. Score. Vanderpump Rules.
All of it.
Lisa
Vanderpump is 109 years old.
Great British baking show.
No, you got it. You guys got it. It's music.
John Powell's score is in it.
Yes.
Have you guys ever listened to the music of a certain British band?
Nice try.
Are you going to derail it right now?
I'm just talking about music. That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about specific music, not music in general.
Sorry.
No, I'm talking about...
Did you say you don't like the Beatles?
No, she asked if I...
That's not what we're talking about.
Specific band. I said, no, we're not talking about the Beatles.
Okay.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
So...
Sorry about John Powell.
There's... And I think I mentioned it here on the show before. Okay, so before Last Jedi came out, there was the report that somebody said... that the music for the asteroid field was in on the Battle of Crait, right? And then later we found out it was the TIE fighter attack music. And I love that as well. And it's one of my favorite musical parts of Last Jedi is that scene with that music. It's awesome. But Asteroid Field is one of my favorite parts of Star Wars music, period, overall. And I've just, that's like one thing I've wanted. I've just wanted some way, somehow, to have that back. And I did not think it would come in the form of John Powell's Han Solo score. I don't know why. I just never, it never occurred to me. And it's in the clip. So, like, I'm set. It made me happy. And then the end of the clip made me happy, too. But, Mark, overall, not any specific part, but just overall, what did you think of what you heard from John Powell in that clip?
You know, not enough music for me to really get a good idea, but right. Hearing what I heard, it's like, okay, it sounds good. And I get what people are saying. There's a lot of people who really want that style of music from that they hear on the trailer. A lot of people are really sort of into that. I don't know what you would call that type of trailer music, but maybe modern? I don't know. But it looks like we're just going to get a classical score. And for me, that's perfectly fine with Star Wars. I love it. You know, it's what we've all grown to love. I don't really want them, honestly, to experiment until they decide to experiment with the movies a little bit. So,
yeah,
getting a John Williams-style score by John Powell for a Han Solo movie is fine with me.
That's a really good point. Like, I was thinking that, you know, just in general that I wouldn't mind them changing, you know, the tone musically because they are supposed to be different. But this is just a prequel.
Right.
It might have a specific style and flavor, but it's still pretty safe, you know? And it's about as safe as it could possibly be. It's a guy who has a theme already in classical music, so to depart from it too much wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know.
Well, he's getting the theme in this movie.
Well, but I mean, you know,
I mean, I know what you mean, but I'm just, like, throwing that out there.
I mean, he has cues that are associated with him.
Yeah, like Han Solo and the Princess?
Yeah.
Right, I agree. And I think if we're going to, you know, for Rian Johnson's trilogy, it's supposed to be, you know, an unexplored part of the Star Wars universe. And if that's where they decide, okay, well, then we're going to go with synth. Or we're going to go techno. I don't know.
Yeah, and who are the guys who helped on Tron? They helped Daft Punk. Who was it?
Oh, Trapanese.
Oh, yeah. Daft Punk. We were talking about that. Trapanese should definitely they should go that route if they for Johnson or something cool, so something different, like.
Yeah, if they went in an entirely, you know, different direction. For that, it'd be okay, you know. And for whatever reason, I feel like when we get to the Game of Thrones guys movies, we're just gonna get Ramin Djawadi. But
that'd be cool, though. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool, but you know, I
well,
I'm open to different Star Wars music, and if they just have really good composers do classical style, you know, symphonic music, I'm fine with that too.
Well, because it's like that is the DNA and the fabric, the heart of that connects all of the movies is that sound, that John Williams musical sound. Even if it's Chicano or Powell or whatever, that sound of his is what connects them all. In this storyline so far, like you said, if they really start exploring other options, then you can branch out with the music too. But when we're in this vein and style of Star Wars, you got to stick with that too. And like with Kenobi potentially being a spinoff movie, for me, like dream fan casting here, I would really, really love Alan Silvestri to do that. I don't know if it would happen, but I would love that.
Tim, we should have we got a lot of time. A lot of time after Solo premieres.
Yeah.
We should just do like dream composing episodes because we're going to have to find a way to fill the air. Or even we could do a whole Arctic Monkeys episode.
I know,
Vanderpump episode.
Oh my God. Attention, everybody. This is the Andrew podcast. But if you like Star Wars and space, more importantly, space, the Arctic Monkeys have a new album coming out, and you guys should listen to it because it's all space themed. So please listen; they're my favorite band.
I really like it. I have the stupidest segue, but it's actually totally a legit thought that has the stupidest possible segue from this.
What is it? Is it asking me if I'm going to wear a Star Wars shirt to one of the Arctic Monkeys concerts that I'm going to? The answer is yes.
Not even a little bit. But it has to do with scores, soundtracks,
all right,
and
go
monkeys.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Because
not talking about my band.
Well, we go right back to it. I was just watching, on recommendation, the Netflix and Australian co-production, The New Legends of Monkey, about the Monkey King and the Journey to the West fable from Chinese mythology. And
okay, hold on. Hold on. So far you said Netflix, Australia, and then Netflix Australia is doing it an English language Chinese adaptation?
Well, it's an adaptation of Chinese mythology that's like throughout of the, what do you call it, the story called the Journey to the West. It's like the fable of the Monkey King. It's part of Chinese mythology, but it's also throughout all of kind of everywhere that China colonized. Either it drew from their myths and retellings, or it sort of has some basis in all sorts of different South Asian and Southeast Asian and Pacific Island cultures as well. And the cast
has anyone said that my culture is not your Netflix show?
There has been quite a bit of debate about it, because some people have like accused it of being whitewashing, even though it's by far not white at all. Like, it's by far people of Pacific Islander and Southeast Asian ethnicity, and I think one Taiwanese Chinese actor as well. But it's interesting though, like, because it's not meant to be a direct, you know, version of it. And there's like been hundreds of different Chinese versions. In fact, there were a couple different movies starring Donnie Yen.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. King.
Yeah, but this series has music that feels like, I don't know, it's not the same 80s synth style as like the stuff on, what do you call it, Stranger Things, or it's just really prevalent right now, I think, but it's definitely part of that resurgence of like this synth rock 80s style, and the music reminds me of stuff like from action movies from the 80s, like, and some that had like a kung fu style, but just in general, like the kind of weird synth rock stuff, and I wouldn't mind seeing something like that, like using it appropriately in something Star Wars related feels like it could be a place for it in the near future. But like you said, Mark, it would need to be something that wasn't super tied into the era we've always been in. Like, even thinking about Kenobi, it shouldn't differ too far, even though it might be kind of a spaghetti western. I feel like the music should be pretty similar, because it would be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, yeah, you know, it needs to be that. If we ever get that Yoda movie, it needs to be like Tangerine Dream or Vangelis, as far as I'm concerned. It needs to be anything that's like, you know, or even like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, or progressive rock. I could see it like a progressive rock Yoda movie.
That'd be kind of awesome.
It would.
Can we get like Jeff Lynne just to do some music for one of them?
Yes. Oh,
like Tommy.
God. Just I'm down for all that. I'm down for the Who. I'm down for ELO doing
Yoda trips.
Well, because I imagine that Yoda before the Jedi Council was probably tripping balls all the time. Everything was just psychedelic.
That's why he talks all funky.
He was like Radagast and in
he's
Lord
just
of the
like
Rings.
Really high.
Yes. Now I really wanted Yoda tripping balls movie.
Free your mind, guys.
And I don't know why, but I feel like this is one of the few podcasts on the planet that would actually have that as a thing.
Your mind free, it isn't.
Because didn't he smoke in some? Correct me if I'm wrong. I could be way off, but I thought he smoked at some point.
No, he made soup.
He's just eating soup
in the
wasn't he making like in his crock pot?
Yes, that's it. That's it.
He was slow cooking.
Token, right? No,
you're absolutely right. He was making stew in the crock pot. It was disgusting, according to Luke. But he seemed fine with it. When he's tall and blue, he's not tall, but he's like medium sized, but he's skinny and blue, and he's like smoking out of a long pipe, and it looks totally like Lord of the Rings inspired, like Tolkien-y, in that concept art. But yeah, there's concept art from early on where he's smoking.
He's not. It's not Tolkien-y. It's Tolkien-y.
Yeah, he's Tolkien-y. Oh, we're the worst.
This is the greatest podcast I've ever heard.
So even though there's really not much Star Wars to get to as far as this week goes, and I know we have May 4th, but and like a movie coming up and everything, but I really feel like there's not a lot to get to.
Lando's blown up, right?
He was on
SNL. Yes. I'm so on your bandwagon.
Have you accepted that he is a modern Renaissance man?
I have.
That man is so—he is so talented. I cannot fathom
it's not
it.
But I tweeted it today. It's not even because of all those things. I think Atlanta's brilliant.
Atlanta is really, really good, isn't it?
I still watch it. I feel like a bad
fan. Oh,
I'm several episodes behind. I've only seen the first half of this season and all the first season. I think I'm like four episodes behind now.
I watched the first season. I'm now into. I just finished the first episode of season two today.
Oh, isn't it so good? Like, it's so good. I don't agree with everything he always says, but I think he's really smart and he does a really good job. I think he's very talented. And a bunch of those episodes are by Hiro Murai, the guy who I've been talking about on Twitter for the past like 3 months. I love him.
Well, he's
amazing.
He actually convinced people to give a crap about Lando again, which is sad because Billy Dee Williams was an amazing Lando. Nobody ever gave a crap about Lando in the past 10-15 years.
Hey, you and I
for the most part.
No, I know what you're saying.
I'm generalizing.
20% of the fandom gave a crap about him before.
Right. But everyone now is like, hey, it should have been a Lando movie. Oh no, it should have been a movie. About everybody, it's like, okay, but look, if they announced the Lando movie before casting Donald Glover, you people would have been like, what? Huh?
Now Lando. They got to make a Lando movie.
Right. Or, a Lando versus Boba Fett movie would be fantastic. Right, Andrew?
Oh, my God. We just got to work Boba Fett into everything.
Lando Fett. That's what it's called. It's called Lando Fett. Boom.
He did have a Lando sketch on SNL, I heard. I haven't watched it.
It was very funny.
It's pretty good.
The only one I watched was the Cavs other players one.
Oh, you didn't even watch the Kanye Place one?
Oh yeah, I watched that.
I need to watch that one.
That was just a short clip, right?
That's a digital short.
Oh, that was long.
Oh, I just watched the clip with like them talking about Chrissy Teigen.
Oh no, that's funny.
It's one of the digital shorts, but it's like a full length sketch, right?
Yeah. So yeah, he's good.
I'm glad you're on board. But yeah, and that video that everyone likes was also directed by Hiro Murai. He's an awesome director. Everyone should keep an eye on him. That guy's gonna explode. He's super talented.
You heard it here first on podcast 2187.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I was thinking about it because you were talking before about people being on board because of him, and I've seen a bunch of people like. I saw someone being really snarky because they were already a big Childish Gambino fan and a big Star Wars fan, being like, "Well, come on, like they're not different because somebody said what you've said that like it's going to bring in people to Solo who might not have been interested." Yeah, Star Wars is huge. Star Wars is absolutely huge. But a couple of years ago at the Rogue One premiere, when I was hanging out with the Star Wars Underworld guys going on the subway back from it. And I was going back to North Hollywood, and I forget where they were going, but yeah, we're getting on the subway, and these kids who are like in their late teens, early 20s, they're asking us why we're into Star Wars, and they're not giving us crap. They just don't understand why everyone's into it. It's like it's not for everyone yet, and there's a huge overlap in that fandom of people who are of the age and of the interest of liking, I think, modern music are going to be they're probably going to be into the movies that are huge right now. They're probably going to also like Star Wars. Like, you were already in Childish Gambino and into Star Wars, Andrea.
Heck yeah.
you're a perfect example of that was already existed. But there are other people who might not have been interested in Solo at all who are going to be like, hell yes, I'm going to see that because I love Donald Glover. And no one is going to say that because of Alden Ehrenreich. I'm not saying he's bad. I said a lot of mean stuff about him being a Cabbage Patch Kid last week. And I stand by that. That's my feelings. That's not saying he's a bad actor or a bad human being or even ugly. Just saying he has a very large head. I have a large head. They thought I was twins in the womb because my head was the same size as the rest of my body, way longer than it should have been. So,
well, I think it's just because he has like zero following because he's still way early in his career.
Yes, and Donald Glover is a freaking triple threat. You know, he's a musician, a director, an actor.
Well, hold on. Look, even when they cast him, he was nowhere near where he is now. Okay.
No, but he was already on the rise. He had the deal to do.
Yeah, but at the same time, like Spider-Man: Homecoming is not that long ago. Do you think they would cast him in such a throwaway part in the Marvel Universe if they knew that he was going to blow up to be where he is now?
He's Miles Morales' uncle. He's the prowler. So, he's essential to that guy's origin. Like if they're going to do Miles,
But at the same time, it's like. You know they have regrets for casting Idris Elba as Heimdall in Thor, because you've got an actor of that caliber who's basically wasted it in a role, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think you're totally off base, but at the same time, like, I don't think it's crazy because that came after they'd already cast him as Lando.
But I think I think all the stuff that you're seeing with him now is just, you know, they got it at the ground floor.
Don't get me wrong. I think you're absolutely right that he is blowing up like nothing before right now because of the second season of Atlanta, because of this music drop, because of everything, like this confluence of events. But I think his star was already on the rise. Like, he'd already directed movies.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he'd been writing stuff before he'd ever appeared on screen. Like, before he knew he wanted to be a rapper or an actor, he was just a comedy writer. It's like, and he had an interest in both those things, but it's like he wasn't pursuing them as a career. You know what I mean? Like I don't know.
What I'm trying to say though is right now, if he went into negotiations and they're about to film Lando today, I mean they're about to film Han Solo today.
He'd have leverage now.
Oh, big time leverage to get more money than what he got, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that's pretty quick to be that big.
Absolutely, and I think it's cool that he is going to be able to bring different people into the Solo, and it's cool that. You know, a lot of us were already on board with him ahead of time. Like, I'm glad that you're into him now as well, because like, Atlanta is so good. Like, he is a good actor. Like, when you see that compared to Community, where he plays like a goofy kind of nerdy kid who, you know, I don't know.
But see, I think that's, you know, this is going to be a really long explanation for everything. So bear with me, right? So Creed is announced, right? And I love Rocky. I've loved all the Rocky. So I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to take you to – this is like Rocky. I'm going to take my boys to Rocky. Well, they don't love Rocky, although they think he's cool. They love Creed. That's their Rocky. So then once they realize, oh, my God, the director of Creed and the star of Creed is going to be in Black Panther, then that increases their interest. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I may have taken them for one thing, and it's everything else that built on that. So I wanted to watch Atlanta because I heard, oh, the guy, you know, who's going to play Lando is in a TV show, Atlanta. So I'm watching it, and my son comes out. And he's like, this is amazing. This is my oldest son, Christian. And so he blows through it all, and he's far ahead of me because he thinks it's the funniest thing ever. And he turns on my wife to it, and he tells all his friends about it. And so I just think with the culture that we're in nowadays, that everything feeds to everything. And it's so important that, you know, what I'm able to turn on somebody for one reason, they may take that and run with it a different way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know people who would be into the show Into the Badlands for completely different reasons. We might have antithetical feelings on tons of stuff. Like, I know people who would be into it because Kung Fu, that's it. That's all I care about. And I know people who'd be into it because, like, oh, a lot of the people who are involved creatively and a lot of the cast are not white people. You know, and that would be their primary interest. But and a bunch of people who have crossover, like myself, like I'm into that aspect of it, and I love it as badass action. I like the kung fu in it is fun, and it's like you and Ron and a bunch of other people were talking about it, all leading up to the second season. Like basically, some point after the first season started through the second season coming up, we're all talking it up a lot last year, and. Like it's just that action is so incredibly cool. Like I don't know, it's a huge draw, but it has multiple draws.
You know? It so is. You know, when we're jumping all over the place in this episode, and I apologize to the listeners, but when you have a martial arts style TV show or movie to where they just decide, okay, we're really going to defy the law of gravity and physics, and we're going to have people do these insane sort of moves. It's almost like, okay, thank you, I appreciate it. That's what I want. I don't want everything grounded. You know, as much as I actually enjoyed, for the most part, Iron Fist, it could have definitely been better. But it's like, you know, if this is a superhero, make this guy just have crazy. Yeah, you know, you look at the competing show, and these people have supernatural powers, just incredible.
And that's what the show I talked about before, this, the new Legends of Monkey. Like someone said that they thought the lead in it would have been a really good Iron Fist, and like he is, like because of the fact that it's just a little bit more over the top, and they do because it is based on mythology. You know, he can fly on clouds and crap. Like he's not doing that all the time, but. They make everything a little more exaggerated, and so it is embracing the fact that like you know this guy's a demigod, like he's got freaking superpowers. Why not show it? And I feel like that I can relate that back to Star Wars even because like I think there's something to be said for that kind of embracing the impossible while still being grounded in reality. And I feel like that's some of the appeal of the original trilogy that people like so much, as opposed to like the more crazy stuff in the prequels. I think there's like some sort of balance between it. It's like those kung fu movies, people aren't doing everything like in the Avengers, you know, or in the Justice League. Like they don't have crazy mind-boggling superpowers, but they're also doing crap that no human could ever do. You know, they're defying gravity, they're running up walls, they're, you know, stopping in midair or whatever. They're doing stuff that's it's impossible. It's not really any more impossible than anything in Fast and the Furious movies, you know, that are...
Hey.
They're fun, but they make you forget other laws of physics, you know? Like, I don't know which one I was just watching, but, like, Dom and Brian get up from jumping out of, like, two exploding cars or whatever, like roll down a mountain and got back, like stand back up next to each other, and they're fine. Like they don't even have a cut on them, much less like all of their bones broken. And I'm just like, but I don't care because it's fun and it's the same exact thing.
That's a documentary. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
it's all real. Love it. Justin Lin followed a gang of road hoodlums.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, it's all weird though, right? Like I feel like that stuff. It's more relatable because there is no, they don't have us accept any fantastic conceit in those movies, like in Star Wars with the Force and with sci-fi stuff in general, or with superpowers and superhero movies. Like they just stretch our limits of willing suspension of disbelief, just like it should be past the breaking point, but they're fun enough that we're like, ah, who cares? like Die Hard it up, you know, whatever. I don't care.
Jump but you know, hill. for everything, you know, with Fast and Furious, each movie gets a little bit more, you know, stretching the believability. Same with, you know, Avengers. You know, when you look at Iron Man compared to, you know, Infinity War. What was very grounded as believable or possible in Iron Man is like, what the hell?
Oh yeah, I've gone on record as not liking it specifically because it does such a good job of making sense that there's a couple things in it that I feel like betray that, then they kind of mess it up for me.
Well, and
because it is so grounded, like you're absolutely right.
But Last Jedi was the breaker. Last Jedi was the one where, for a lot of people, that believability or that next step in the plot to where we're asking you to go with it, people just are like, no.
But what about that do you think it was? Was it Luke? Like, was that it?
I think overall, people had an idea. They already wrote their own scripts to episode 8 after they saw 7. And when this went in sometimes the complete opposite direction, they just weren't happy with that because they'd had 2 years to build up what they wanted to happen instead. And this was a slap in the face to what they wanted.
And not even that, how many years of EU did we have?
Yeah. The one argument that got me the most annoyed, the one thing that ticked me off the most that seemed to upset other people was I saw people complain about Leia having any Force abilities or whatever. Like, she did not have Force. Stupid. She explicitly didn't. And, like, that one made me so mad because, like, that goes against the EU if you're using that as your thing. And if you're not, what the hell are you talking about? Like, when? And I don't know if they're using the line where she says she didn't understand it, but it's like, yeah, she didn't understand it. That doesn't mean...
Yeah, Luke didn't understand it before he learned about it.
Right. She also has demonstrated before the sequel trilogy, she demonstrated abilities. Like, she sensed Luke at the end of Empire.
Yeah.
And again in Jedi. Like,
that's just a silly argument.
Isn't it?
It's very... Like, it doesn't even make sense. They're twins. Like, wouldn't you think that they would have at least some similarities
with that?
Well,
I'm pretty sure that the midichlorians come from the penis. That's why a woman made a human by herself. I don't know. I'm trying to put my head in the mind space of misogyny that would say Leia couldn't have powers.
Well, the thing is,
that's the only explanation, right? That's the only, like... It's the only reason is I don't want a girl to have superpower. How else?
Well, like you're saying too, at the end of Jedi, she specifically says, "I can feel it," which is like the tagline for using the Force.
Right. It is.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's no basis for that.
So, go ahead.
What, like you were saying, Tim, I think a lot of people are disappointed in The Last Jedi because they just like hyped it up so much in their head and like figured out what they wanted. And, like, all this stuff. And that's why I don't read theories or anything like that. Like, I don't want an idea in my head and then go in and see something else and automatically dislike it because it's not what I thought it was going to be. Because that's not an actual reason to dislike something. But it, like, gets into, like, this mental game with yourself where you're like, well, that's not what I was expecting. Like,
yeah.
Like, what do I, like, and then you're, like, confused, and you're like, well, I guess I don't like it. But it's, like, it just wasn't what you wanted. It wasn't what you hyped up.
I'm still mad that I fell for the marketing a little bit. I was a man. I was a grown man who feels incorrectly, to a great extent, I'm sure, that I feel like advertising doesn't work on me. And I know, but I had, like, a fight with myself, with Finn. Where I was like, he's not going to be a Jedi. But I just wanted him to be so bad that to this day, that's my biggest criticism of the sequel trilogy is I wish Finn was a Jedi. It's not a legitimate criticism at all. It's just me being disappointed. And I think that I could level a criticism at the way it was marketed, but that's more about kids' perceptions than my own because I knew better. But... At the same time, like, I feel like I really did get it because for the most part, I, as an adult, I've been able to not do that with the fiction I consume, not care. Like, no matter what turn it takes, a favorite character dies or whatever, I'm like, whatever. It's just fiction. Cool. But with that one, I did. I kind of set my hopes up for something, and then it didn't happen, and I'm a little disappointed, and that's stupid. And I know it's stupid because I did that, you know?
I feel you.
And I feel like this is a horrible segue, but I'm going to go with it anyway. To something that Mark was saying before when he referenced Infinity War versus Iron Man and the differences between them.
I like this. Yeah. It's a good segue.
Well, no, cause I'm just going to say because I have now seen Infinity War. So anything you guys wanted to talk about last week, I can now partake in that discussion.
Okay.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
The bad CGI.
Is Thanos thick?
Well, yeah.
first question.
What does thick mean?
With two C's.
Means like like wide and sexually attractive.
I don't know.
Sexy.
Is he
a sexy daddy?
You're basically saying that you find Josh Brolin.
Hey, a purple Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin and Grimace's love child.
Were you guys attracted to Thanos? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Wow.
He is not my type.
Really?
No. No. You? If you're talking about bad, sexy bad guys, there's a bunch of video of the guy who's going to play Jafar doing training for the new Aladdin movie. That dude is upsettingly attractive. I get the male mammal instinct. I don't know if you guys are hip to it, but the whole alpha male thing is bull. The guy who studied wolves, who came up with the term, I read this thing he wrote like in the 80s, I think, where he was like begging people to stop talking about it. He's like, this is based on outdated research. He's like, it's not real. He's like, it's not a thing. There are no alpha dogs, alpha wolves. Like I was like, this is really interesting. But whatever like basic instinct led him to believe that was a thing, I get it. Because I want to be that guy's friend. I want to hang out with him and listen to him. And
wait. Jared.
Yeah, what's up?
You're basically saying that the guy who's playing Jafar, right?
Yeah, you know, he's an attractive man.
Gave you a tingle.
No! Like he's not Paul Newman. Listen, that's my dude.
Give you a tingle?
Yeah, like he's my guy. Like, who'd you have on your list? Yours was Pedro Pascal, that's who you said the other day.
Good choices, you guys.
And Burt Reynolds. Old Burt Reynolds.
I get that. Like I just get that intellectually. There was a lot of people in my life who I think at the time that was like, not when his peak, because I probably wasn't born yet, but like right after that, like my aunts and stuff are like, oh, Burt Reynolds. I would kick him out of that for eating crackers or whatever. I'm like, okay.
Chris Hemsworth. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. You guys watch Westworld? Does anybody watch Westworld?
No.
Not this season.
I don't know what's going on.
You saw last season, Meyer?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a dude in it, Ashley Stubbs. He's like the head of security. He's always wearing a bunch of like bulletproof vest stuff and whatnot. He's doing investigating stuff with Shannon Woodard, the scientist who got missing.
Isn't he a child of nepotism?
He is the oldest Hemsworth. What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't look like him at all.
He doesn't, and he's not a bad-looking dude, but knowing he's a Hemsworth, I find him ugly.
Okay, I'm literally Googling the oldest Hemsworth right now.
Comparing him to the other two, I'm like, well, geez, you're nothing to say. You're nothing that impressive.
Like, I can see the relation, but
you're
like,
just a handsome guy. You're not even a movie star. That's why you're on TV. Which just makes me feel like a monster.
More impressed by the Skarsgårds, to be honest, than the Hemsworth.
This is an overall family.
Yes, yes. It used to be, when I was growing up, it was the Baldwins. And then it's like, no, you guys are all crazy.
Well, who's the one who was on True Blood? The tall one.
It was
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yes.
That was my pick for Thor before Hemsworth was a thing. Before anyone knew he existed.
What was it? Oh, he was really good in that TV show on... what was that show? On Amazon. No, wait. Amazon?
I think
HBO. Pretty Little Liars.
He's just a good actor, man. Like, he's a really good actor. You know what he's amazing in? And I'm dead serious. Everyone will think I'm joking if you've seen it. But if you think about it and you see it again and you know it's him, he is... which one is he? I can't remember his name. He's one of the models in Zoolander. He's one of the best friends at the beginning.
Oh, I think you know what you're talking about.
And he's so stupid. Like, but he's so good at being stupid. Like, it's so... Like, I have a soft spot for all leading man dudes who are really great at comedy. I hate all leading man dudes, like, almost always as a rule of thumb. Like, they just bug me. But if they're really, really great at comedy... I like him, and he's amazing.
So, are you guys surprised that Infinity War did not break the second week record of Force Awakens?
No, I didn't think it would.
It doesn't have the same.
I thought it would.
You thought it would?
Yeah.
it's not the same buildup.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, with Force Awakens, well, with Force Awakens 2, a lot of two things. One, a lot of people saw it more than once. And two, with it being like the Christmas holiday season, a lot of people saw it spread out over time. And I feel like with Avengers, a lot of people are going to see it. I mean, of course, people see it twice too, but less than with Force Awakens. And I also feel like with it being more the start of the summer season time frame, it's going to get a lot. The bulk of it is going to be really at the beginning and less spread out.
I get what you're saying. Have we discussed when Force Awakens became a hated film? Because it seems
I feel like I love it more and more each time I watch it. It's just so fun.
Is it hated?
I don't know. I've kind of shut myself off on to Star Wars Twitter, and it's been great.
I feel
so much better. I can just like the movies that I like.
I don't pay any attention to that stuff. I'm with you on that. Like, I'm waiting for everybody to hate the first Avengers movie and get on board with me. As long as everyone's going to go back and hate stuff that everybody loved, then I never liked that one.
Was awesome.
There's no story. They just all show up and stuff happens.
There's
no reason. There's no reason for Loki to do any of the stuff he's like. Why is he working for Thanos? They never explain it or even attempt to. Why does Thanos have Loki doing it at all? They never explain it or even attempt to. But like, it just everything happens to happen. It's the weakest of all the Marvel movies, I think, and everybody loves it.
Yeah, because the entire point is to just get them together. No one cares why. They're just trying to get them together so that they can do the further stories after that.
Yeah, but you can do it without phoning it in. Yeah.
I don't think it was phoned in.
Story-wise, I think it was. Execution-wise, I think it's so good that's why everyone likes it, because it was well executed. But I think that it's really, really, really weak on story.
I think people are just over...
They're what?
They're over Joss Whedon.
That's definitely true. That'll help.
I'm thankful.
It'll
help everyone join my side as time goes on. They'll hate it more.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Last week, everyone was like, you had better see that movie by next time. So I made a point, and I saw it.
I can't remember what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I had tons of stuff happen in my life in the past week. Oh, I wanted to mention the bad CGI and see if you guys agreed.
Mark, I thought the CGI was really good.
No, the one bad moment.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, overall, I was very...
I thought it was pretty good, but the Thanos in particular was amazing. But
right, like considering like that's an entire character, and like when he like I like realized halfway. Sorry, not to like go off on what you're saying, but I realized like halfway when I was watching it that I didn't get like taken out of the movie whenever he was in a scene with like actual people, which I usually feel like I do. Like I usually am like, oh, like it looks kind of like CGI, yeah, but. It legitimately looked like he was actually there. It was crazy. No,
he fit in great. Like he integrated with them really well.
And, like the world building, I thought looked really good. Like
no, my only criticism was at the very end when Hulk the off screen thing we know from toys that have been released. There's a cut scene where he hulks out briefly at the end of the movie to bust out of the wall. After he gets or rocks when he gets like transported into it when Thanos puts him into it, and so afterward you see Banner kind of floating inside of the Hulkbuster armor. If you watch it again, that is awful. Like he looks like he exists in a different plane in space compared to the armor. Like there's just like a cutout of him like floating, wobbling, and not in sync at all with where the armor is or what the armor is doing. And I'm just like, why is it so rushed? And I felt like, and I thought it was really crazy. And then a ton of, like, the first, like, couple dozen people I talked to about the movie had all felt the same way. But everything else, I thought was great. Everything else, I thought was great.
And Mark, you had said there was something that you had noticed and wanted to point out. I don't know. Just something overall you said you noticed. And now is your chance.
I remember. I don't remember what I ate yesterday, let alone what I saw in Infinity War. Is that the Avengers movie?
Wow.
I don't remember. I don't know anything, Tim.
Okay, well,
honestly though, Jared and I did have a conversation right when it came out that my opinion, and I think Jared saw it, I don't know whether I necessarily agree with it though, is that as far as the hearts and minds of the youth.
Oh no, yeah, we talked about this. Yeah.
Is that you know, the MCU sort of supplanted Star Wars.
That, wait, what?
And I didn't Marvel's hear. Kind of taken over Star Wars for kids.
Oh, I agree with you.
And now I remember that. What I wanted to talk about on the show, which was that I agree with the and this, I mean, clearly we've already gotten into spoilers a little bit, but I'm going to go into a little more. I think people were saying ahead of time, a lot of reviewers, once they were able to lift the embargo and they couldn't release their reviews, but they were able to make comments, you know, they were like saying, my non-spoiler thing is this generation's Empire Strikes Back. It's just this generation's Empire Strikes Back. I saw a lot of people who loved the movie were like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, it's just a surface level comparison. I think it's a really good comparison because they both go into a movie. And you need to know what happened before. Everyone loves Empire, but nobody looks at it as a reviewer from 1980 would have looked at it if they hadn't seen Star Wars, if they were a new movie reviewer. And yeah, it was huge, but not everyone had seen it. You know, it wasn't the way it is now. It wasn't ubiquitous. Nothing was, because media wasn't consumed worldwide the way it is now. But you needed to know. They don't do a setup. They don't explain anything. Like, all these criticisms of Infinity War are the same. Like, they don't even bother to tell you who these characters are. Same thing. You just introduce them, and there's so
many. I don't understand that, because they've on the other side of that coin is Justice League, which they did barely any build up to it. There was like,
no,
what,
the same thing.
Three movies, and then everyone complained that movie, you could tell that there was no build up because like the characters lacked motivation, they lacked like relationships.
It's not a genuine argument, right, as far as criticizing Infinity War, because it's like nobody sold them this as this is unique. Nobody should see anything before you see this. You're fine. That wasn't how it was advertised, you know?
Right. It's like watching this season of Game of Thrones and being like, well, I don't really get what's going on.
It's like starting with the second to last episode.
Yeah, it's like, why is this happening? Like, it's like how my mom watches TV shows. She comes up like, I'm like on the season finale of Lost. She hasn't watched since season 5, and she's like, why is this going on? I'm like, you need to not talk right now.
No, there was one time my mom came in and watched the last 2/3 of Revenge of the Sith. She hadn't seen a Star Wars movie since Return of the Jedi, and she's I was watching it with my niece and nephew, and like 25 minutes into this, she's like, what's going on? I'm like, I can't possibly explain to you right now. Like,
don't have time.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna talk over the movie while the kids are watching it.
Wait. Speaking of parents, can I give you guys an update on my parents in Star Wars?
I was gonna say, is it about your dad?
Yeah. So
hating Kylo for killing eight.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I asked my parents if they wanted to go see Han Solo with me and my mother. They're already planning on it. And my mom's on the phone, and she's like yelling at my dad, like parents do, like yelling at each other while I'm on the phone. And I'm like, I'm confused. I don't know if I'm in this conversation, but so she's like, do you want to go see Han Solo? And he was like, can we go get dinner after? And she was like, I guess. And he was like, yeah, I want to go. I like going to dinner with Andrea. And she was like, okay, do you know who Han Solo is? And he goes, I know who Harrison Ford is. So my dad's going to hate the movie.
Yeah, he is. I love your dad. That's awesome.
Dude, who's this kid? This is not my Han Solo.
He's going to be like, where's Harrison Ford? Which is probably where I'm coming from. And then I mentioned something about not being ready to see another actor play Han Solo. And my mom was like, that's just because you think young Harrison Ford is cute. And I was like, whoa, calling me out.
Truth.
But
truth big. From your mom.
But yeah, that's my parents' update.
So
the last thought about Empire was just that the endings like Mark and I talked about it at length, and you seem to agree, like the biggest similarity is if you are a kid and you walk out of Empire Strikes Back compared to a kid now who walks out of this movie, you have the same sense of what they just saw Han get frozen and they have no idea if he's coming back. If you're a kid seeing that the first time,
Luke's hand just got cut off.
And Darth Vader is Luke's dad.
And yeah, both those things happen, and you're 8, and you just walk out of a theater, your mind is blown. Well, they just saw all of their favorite superheroes disappear into dust, and they don't know an 8-year-old, a really smart 8-year-old who uses the internet all the time, most of them are not going to know about announced sequels and Black Panther 2 and Spider-Man 2 being sure things. You know, they're not going to be like, well, I know for a fact that Chris Pratt was signed on to do Guardians 3. So I'm intellectually rationalizing my experience. So I'm not sad about characters, even though I'm having an emotional reaction. And I know people who are super into Marvel movies and do podcasts about it, friends of mine, who are really emotionally impacted by this, even though they knew full well that most of these, if not all of them, are going to be undone. Like, these deaths hit them, and I feel like it's got to be very similar to that emotional reaction for Empire.
For sure. And what makes it even, like I said, you can Google right now and realize that, you know, okay. Like, for the lady that I work with, her son was really big into Batman. He's an 8-year-old little African-American boy. He's really big into Batman. But then Black Panther comes out. And now he's got the sheets. He's got the action figures. He's got everything. And he begs, you know, I mentioned this on Twitter, he begs his mother, you know, if I'm really good and I do all my homework and I'm a good boy, can we go see Infinity War this weekend? And she's like, absolutely. So they go see Infinity War, and Black Panther disappears. And he just starts crying in the middle of the theater. And he's... just I thought the good guys win. The good guys are supposed to win. And it's like, yeah, it's exactly how, right. And so that's exactly how you think with Empire Strikes Back. The only positive thing nowadays is that I talked to her, told her to Google this, show him that, so that he cannot be mad anymore. Because when they would talk to him about Black Panther or Avengers, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh my God.
And so she showed him what's coming, and now he's like, okay. So now he has a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But for us, pre-internet, pre-everything, for the most part, when I was a little kid, 7-year-old who saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater, was like, there's nowhere to turn.
No, I know
Mom,
for a fact.
Mom, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen.
Like, I know for a fact that, like, on my brother Andrew, like he, my brother Andrew was... not yet a year, or no, just a year. They had just turned a year, and they went to go see it because my brother James is so into Star Wars. It's all he cared about. He's 2 years younger than you. He was 5. Like, I just can't even imagine. Like, I studied, you know, developmental, you know, psychology and have little kids' brains work in that age range. And, like, I just can't even put myself in that place and imagine it. How anxiety-provoking Empire would be, much less Infinity War. Infinity War, I feel like it would be even worse. Like a 5-year-old to walk out of that.
It might even be more difficult, even though now kids can look at it and Google it and see that things are probably going to be okay. I think kids, you know, with the advent of home video, all these things are on home video. So these kids see, you know, the Avengers multiple times, or the kids see, you know, Spider-Man a lot, and everything is in their lives on a regular basis. These movies come out every year. Some of them come out multiple times. So I think when you finally get to this point with Infinity War, it might really just be an overload for a lot of these kids. Like, I don't understand this at all. I don't understand it at all. Because for them, it's just like, not only I like Spider-Man, he's dead. I like Black Panther, he's dead.
I feel like if I was a little kid, I wouldn't even really understand that they were dead. I'd be like, where'd they go? My parents would be like, no.
They're gone. The rapture? That's what happened.
Except they'd be like, they're gone. And I'd be like, where'd they go?
It would have been funny if they had Dust in the Wind over the end credits.
Brings me to a question. What do you guys think is going to happen in the next Avengers? In the next Infinity War, I mean. Like, I think that, personally, that Nebula and Gamora are on, like, this perpendicular path where they have to, like, meet up. And, like, Nebula's going to have to... this is obviously spoilers, so I hope whoever is worried has stopped listening. But that they have to... Like, she's going to have to get the gauntlet, Nebula, and bring Gamora back. And then I think they'll both end up, like, dying? I don't know. But I think she's going to be the end up having to be the one who actually, like, gets it.
Based on the comics... There's potential for everybody to come back. I mean, Gamora's going to come back if they stick to it, because she's not actually dead. She's just inside of the Soul Gem or Soul Stone. Like, she swapped places with... You have to... It's like a soul for a soul in the comics, which even that, I mean, I don't know who she would have traded places with.
What?
Yeah.
Like, she's like Tinkerbell?
I guess, yeah.
No, she's like, I dream of Genie. She's in, instead of being in the bottle, she's in the stone.
And I feel like I feel like that might be too obvious, because it is in the comics, that and it will be a permanent sacrifice. But you could be right that it'll be Nebula who, like, reunites with her through the Soul Stone. It was a temporary thing. I don't know how it'll work, but there's at least potential for that. I think that in the long run, they're going to bring the character of Loki back, and potentially Hiddleston as well, because there's an arc. I think if they do that, they should maybe take a break from a Thor movie and not do it immediately. But there's an arc where he's reincarnated as a kid, and the kid version of him is actually trying to just be good. But the kind of, like, the version of him that's just compulsively insecure and not necessarily evil, but just has to do the messed up thing because he's, you know, trickster god or god of chaos, that I think Hiddleston does a pretty good job of. He's conflicted. He wants to do the right thing, but he still just kind of has to, for the most part, kind of, you know,
I feel like
a little bit of a jerk.
He's the one that's not coming back out of everybody.
But
felt pretty permanent.
It did, and I think it'd be okay if they did this version of the story where he doesn't ever come back as the same, and in it, he, as this kid, he'd be a different actor, because it would be a child or a tween playing him if they adapted it. But he interacts with basically like a hallucination that's like the memory, the ghost of this adult version of him. And so Hiddleston could come back for a movie in this like kind of really interesting role where he's like haunting himself or a reincarnation of himself, which would be interesting. I think they could be cool, and they have adapted some stories, not like one for one, but pretty closely. So I'd be interested in that, because he's so popular and he's just a good job. Like, he's really entertaining and enjoyable as Loki. So I wouldn't mind a way to not exactly bring him back, where he's like still gets to hang out with Thor and they're brothers again. He's a hero now, or whatever. Like, I don't want anything cheesy, but it would undo his sacrifice and his development. But it would be an interesting way to be able to kind of cheat. You still get him. And I think that the Russo brothers said, well, it's not going to be what you think. We're not going to do, because a bunch of people's initial theory was that they're just going to do a repeat of a time gem. They're just going to undo everything. I don't think that's going to be it. I think that based on the spoiler that Cassie Lang, who is the daughter of Ant-Man, who's in the Ant-Man movies, and is played by like a 10-year-old, 9-year-old actress in that, or an 11-year-old, she's been recast for Avengers 4 by as an actress who's like 15 years old. So I think time has happened between Avengers Infinity War and Avengers 4, and that time is not going to be undone. But when all is said and done, they defeat Thanos, these deaths in that instant will be reversed. That's my crazy off the wall theory.
Yeah, but then we go back to the time that we left.
No, time has still progressed.
No,
it comes out next year, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't necessarily have to be as big of a time jump. It could be like 2 years or whatever, or a year. But I feel like it's plausible. That's my crazy off the wall theory. I'm definitely not like
Thanos is just like tired of hearing his own farts all the time. Like, he's just like, I'm I'm done with this, and then
no, like they have to defeat him, but the people who are left, and there are a lot of people who are left, but and people who haven't appeared yet who are going to appear.
But, so what you're saying, Jared, is that let's say it happens 3-4 years in the future, right?
And
they reverse everything. So then we are left with either a Spider-Man who's now out of high school, or B, a Spider-Man that's no longer in the MCU timeline currently.
It would be where he's out of sync with his friends, potentially.
So he's the same age, and now Mary Jane Watson is older than him by 3-4 years.
However,
I'm just asking.
I want you to hear me out on this, because no matter what, the landscape of their world, even if it's undone somewhat, is going to be changed by this. They've said it repeatedly, like this is going to change the entire MCU. It's not just going to be business as usual on their Earth anymore. Like at the very least, everyone's going to be aware of all this crap in a different way. So it's not out of the realm of possibility to me to think that like all the movies in the future are going to be in a world that's a little bit more different from our own. It's going to be post-Infinity War, at the very least. So if there is a time jump of some indeterminate amount of time, maybe 2, maybe 3 or 4 years, if this happens, his friends will be in college, not high school anymore. Peter is smart enough to go ahead and join them. That's my out.
All right, well, that would be stupid, but...
It would be stupid! I'm not saying that's entirely great. That's just my stupid, no-prize-esque answer.
Yeah, no, I get it, but now you got Peter in a all these friends that... If they're recasting Ant-Man's daughter, now you gotta recast all of Peter's friends?
It's just weird, but they're recasting her.
Yeah, but maybe I don't know. We'll see. It's actually not that long till it happens.
Well,
I was going to say like the difference between an 11-year-old girl in real life and a 15-year-old girl in real life playing someone in a movie. Like,
I get what you're saying.
Teenagers usually play someone younger, so like maybe it's only a year. You know, I don't know, and they just decided to recast her because it's going to be a different role, a different kind of role. Because she is a superhero in the comic books. She becomes Stature, not the best superhero name, and primarily uses her powers to grow for a while and then eventually becomes Stinger. Maybe it's better, I don't know. And has like kind of wasp-esque powers later on. So she could easily become a superhero in the movies as well, I suppose.
So this is kind of my like off-the-wall thing. Because and I don't know anything about the like the actual comic part of Infinity War stuff, so this could be like way out there. I don't even know. But you said that because Gamora is probably part of the Infinity Stone itself, right?
Which what?
You said Gamora is probably part of the Infinity Stone, right?
She's like inside
of
the,
it, yeah,
inside of the Soul Gem, yeah.
Right. So what are the chances that everyone else is also inside it or something to like add power to it or something?
Well, a lot of people have presumed that that's where the amount inside or the amount of people who are gone, the half of the existence is inside the Soul Gem, which I think is quite plausible, if not guaranteed.
So then, yeah, like if it's destroyed, then they're like released or something,
or they're dead.
Way to go, dude! You just killed Bucky, just kill and him. Black Panther, and Spider-Man.
Well, that's the other thing. Like some of them are already cast in the next one. Not all of them.
Oh no, we know.
But like,
oh no, all of them are coming back for the next one.
Well,
and,
yeah, but like, I mean, like,
and right for the next movies, right. No, the people who are actually going to die in the next one are Captain America and Iron Man because their contracts are up.
That's what I thought was going to happen with this one, and then when other people started dying, I was like, wait, what? And then Black Panther died, and I was like, oh, wait, it's going to be reversed.
I mean, their contracts...
I'm like, he has another movie coming out.
Well, a couple of things. Like, first, contracts are up, but they're also done with the storyline after the next one. Marvel's going in different directions, right? So contracts, yes. Like, in and of itself doesn't mean the character's going to die. They might, but... And then the other thing
but
is...
some of them, I think, will.
Well, like,
I think
didn't James Gunn say the next Guardians of the Galaxy is going to take place before Infinity War? Didn't he say?
No.
I thought I saw him tweet that.
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
Okay.
I heard him say that it's going to be a totally different landscape with a different cast.
Oh, okay.
And that it wouldn't be the same team of Guardians. is where we left off.
I didn't see that.
I saw that, which is some people are taking as a guarantee that Gamora's dead. I think that's a pretty big presumption, but not a crazy one.
So,
not like off the wall.
But something that I noticed that it's like not a huge deal, but I just thought it was really cool, is that because it's supposed to be, didn't he say he would choose randomly the people who would be like dissolved?
No. He didn't say he'd choose randomly. He said it would be chosen randomly.
Oh, okay, yeah, but like it's a random thing, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, obviously it wasn't. In theory, it's random.
Yeah, because I was going to say it was interesting because the people who are left, it's basically the like in the first Avengers movie, it's them plus a couple others. But yes. It's like the core Avengers who are left, and I think that's really cool.
If you see
the pictures from the filming of Avengers 4, they all look like they did when you first met them.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, somebody else pointed out to me like a long time ago, several months ago, I think, at this point, but a photo of Ant-Man in an outfit that looks different from Ant-Man and the Wasp, maybe, or maybe different from the other ones. Maybe it's from Ant-Man and the Wasp, so that's where he'll be left off. But it's him with Evans in the same cap outfit as the old one, and his helmet's off, I think, and his like hair looks the same as in the first Avengers movie. Like, it's weird.
And Thor, he's got his original costume
and hair
with the long hair and the arm sleeves or whatever. But then, you know, people are pointing out that they think they're all wearing these weird wrist watches that look like possible they could be time, I don't know what they are, like time travel mechanisms or whatever.
Maybe they're things that let them go into the Soul Gem. Because inside the Soul Gem, Gamora is a little kid Gamora. Ooh, what?
Yeah, but I just thought it was neat, though,
so
that's
Peter,
who we have left.
So Peter's going to have to raise Gamora.
Oh, my God. He already had to raise Groot. That's such a
weird pattern of behavior. I was thinking of Parks and Rec, where he's asking about him and April's age difference. And he's like... He's like, if I had known April when I was in third grade, she would have been a baby. I don't want to take care of a baby. He like freaks out because she's younger than him.
Okay, can I ask
21? No question.
Yeah.
So obviously, Jurassic World was filmed after. I'm gonna assume Jurassic World was filmed after this Avengers, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, so Chris Pratt was a little heftier, and they talk about it in the movie, which is really weird but funny at the same time. So why is that?
They talk about it in Jurassic World too, in the trailer.
No, do they really?
Yeah, in one of the extended trailers, Bryce Dallas Howard and him are barbing back and forth, and she gives him guff. I thought.
Oh God, I hope not. Because what is this, just a new ongoing thing where you talk about somebody's weight?
It feels especially messed up with him, just because like he was a dude who was really chubby. Now he's in great shape. Yeah. If he gains a couple pounds, but is still in extremely good shape, people are like giving him constant crap. Like, it's just weird. It's not like it's not definitely not the worst case of like body shaming or whatever. But I don't like fat shaming at all.
Yeah, I was curious.
I thought it was funny in comparison to like how
Thor
insanely like ripped Thor is, but yeah. Like when they were saying that, I was like, he's still like super in shape. I was like, he's not like, as they were like basically calling him fat, I'm like, he's not fat. I was like kind of confused. Like, but I'm like, is he just wearing a leather jacket?
It had to be them just messing with him, like exacerbating his insecurity.
Yeah, I was just, you know, for me, I was just like, so did he gain weight? For the lines, or were the lines written because they? No, if you look at his face, you can tell.
I think maybe he just isn't like working out like as crazy hard as he was before, and like maybe he's like.
It could have been around the time he broke up with his wife.
That's my exact my immediate super cynical.
Well, they also had him for the first Guardians movie and first Jurassic World. He was working out like.
Oh yeah, you ever
like 8 hours or something like. Crazy, like something like they wouldn't let him drink beer. Like,
well, no, it wasn't that they wouldn't let him. He decided to do that. His brother is a physical trainer or like some sort of fitness expert. I remember watching the social media stuff because I was such a big Parks and Rec fan leading up to the first Guardians, and he was talking about it. But I remember what you're talking about. Like he had this insane regimen to go from Andy Dwyer to that.
And
they made a joke about it on Parks and Rec where Ben says, like, you really just stopped drinking beer? Like, that's all you did? And it's like a huge exaggeration. He said that literally that's all he did for his diet, but that he worked out constantly. It like went from like, oh, I run, you know, three times a week to I pump iron all the time. Anytime I'm not making a movie or TV show, I'm working out. Like, it's my
right,
life.
Like, that's just like unsustainable. Like, you can't do that for your entire life. I mean, I guess you could, but
no, I've read about it, and it's like model stuff. Like the way these guys in these movies work. I was reading this interview with it wasn't John Hamm. It was just some handsome dude who I associate with John Hamm because that's another really handsome man. But they were talking about like whenever they have to do one of these movies, like they starve themselves. Like if they have a scene where they're going to be shirtless or whatever. Oh, it was Hugh Jackman. It was Hugh Jackman talking about how he had to stop being Wolverine. He's like, I can't do that forever. He would have no water, no food, no nothing for like 2 days before a day that he had to be shirtless. And like, it's just like, that's freaking nuts, man. Like you're that's not good. That's not okay for your body. And people praise actors for stuff like that. Like I remember all the praise that Christian Bale got for The Machinist when he like he got so skinny it was dangerous to his health. I'm like, why are we congratulating this? Like, this is the behavior of a crazy
person.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. His weight was, like, fluctuating like crazy.
Yeah.
And then he went up for that 70s by, like, a ton.
Yeah, right,
and I'm like,
after that.
I'm like, he's, like, gonna, like, something cardiac is going to happen to this man. Someone please stop him doing this.
He's gonna have some major organ failure at, like, way too young an age. Like,
right.
For like, method acting? Like, for what? Daniel Day-Lewis is, you're never going to outdo him. Like, no one's going to be like, well, he died for it, so he's better than Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, but back to what you were saying, Mark, I didn't really personally notice it, but like he was wearing like a leather jacket and stuff. Like, I just thought it was his jacket, honestly. But maybe his working out all the time was like a constant distraction to how badly his marriage was going.
I remember an interview thing where he said that she didn't like him like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That she preferred him a little chubbier. And the interviewer was like a woman on some talk show. I don't know if it was The View. It was some show where he was promoting, I think, Guardians or maybe the first Jurassic World. But he was promoting one of those movies. And the woman said they didn't believe him. Like, oh, you're just saying that. That's just a thing. She's like, no. He's like, I'm less fun. He's like, now all I do is like worry about what I eat and I work out all the time. Like, I used to be really fun. And now I'm not. Like that's nuts. Like, it kind of bummed me out at the time. But now I think maybe that wasn't just a complete joke. Maybe that was partially real.
Mm.
It's a bummer.
This is a good Avengers talk, you guys.
It is. Well, you remember when everyone wanted him to be Indiana Jones and Han Solo? I never did, but people did.
He's going to be Obi-Wan, so.
Wait, Chris Pratt?
I saw it on Reddit.
Oh, so it must be true.
Yeah.
Who would
suggest this? No, it's like a joke. It's just like a running joke on the prequels.
That's a weird. That's a really weird joke.
I think it's so funny.
Chris Pratt's such a weird choice.
were there any other Infinity War things that you had to get off your chest now that I'm actually here and can talk about it, even though no one else wants to anymore?
I'm good.
What's your favorite part of Infinity War, Tim?
It was kind of two parts, but they were very similar, though. When Captain America shows up in Scotland and when Thor shows up in Wakanda, those two parts. Okay, the thing about Thor, though, too, is like when he had like the lightning eye thing, which was awesome because in the Ragnarok trailer, they show him standing up and he's like a big ball of lightning and it was awesome. And that wasn't in the movie. So they finally put it in here and that I was waiting for that.
Nice. Oh, did you guys like Dinklage?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
He had some really great. I can't remember his line. I still have only seen it once. But there was one line where he responded to something Thor said and like repeated it back slowly because what Thor said was so stupid, and it was and he was humoring him, but it was like the funniest line in the movie, the funniest delivery for me, because Dinklage is always so good at that, so good at humor.
Oh, when he was like, "I'm gonna open the star, or I'm gonna hold the star open."
He's like, "Yeah, that's." Like, we knew you were going to do that. like, that's what you were doing.
And he's like, you're going to what?
he was great. I'm trying to think. Trying to think of my favorite part.
Hmm? Well, yeah, I feel like for this being episode 99, there is not a whole lot of Star Wars discussion to be having. Hopefully, by the time that we get to next week, there will have been more like news or something to cover. I kind of doubt it because I feel like we're in like a slow season leading up to a movie, you know. But
I did read one spoiler delivered to us by one Mark Hamill. I could have. No. Mark Hamill ruined Mark's day. We'll talk about it next week.
Mark, Lord. Are you okay talking about that next week, or is it still too soon next week?
Oh, you can talk about next week. That's fine.
Oh,
okay. For nothing to talk about, we're one of the longest episodes ever.
You know, you would think that, and yet it's not.
Well, let's just end it then.
Great episode, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you, everybody. And
yeah, for the 100th.
I was going to say, we'll be back next time. It'll be episode 100.
For 100 emoji.
I hope you enjoyed our last double-digit episode, because now that we're in the triple digits, we have to, like, be better.
We're never going back. There's no turning back. We have to be better.
No, this is the standard we have set.
It's all Star Wars all the time from here on out.
I was pretty proud with actually making Star Wars connections amidst some of our gibberish.
Yeah, how about that new Arctic Monkeys album out now?
Okay, bye.
Yeah, it's been great. Have a great day, bye. Everybody. Bye.